are here at the 2018 World Credit Union Conference with Van City's very own Nikki Sharma. Nikki, how are you?
Very good. Yeah. How are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. We're wrapping up the show with you. So couldn't ask for anybody better. So thank you very much for taking time to chat with us.
No problem. What an honor.
Oh, yes, of course. What an honor. Hey, well, we're honored to have you here. So, and I just want to start out. Hey, how did the conference go for you?
It was amazing. What I love about this conference is the mix of people and perspectives that we have from all across the world, and I feel really inspired. I feel really ready to get back to Vancouver and take the new ideas that we learn and put them into practice.
Anything in specific stand out for you?
A lot of the conference was talking about, or the ones that I attended were talking about fintech and the digital transformation of a lot of credit unions, and we're kind of in that process at Van City. So I'm very excited to think about things a little bit differently from what I've learned here and go back into it.
Yeah, Van City is one of the more, I'm a huge fan of Van City. I know William Azaroff, he and I are kind of cohorts, but you guys are doing some incredibly progressive things, especially like in as far as community involvement, and I just really enjoy what you guys do. I think you guys really set the bar for a lot of other folks to do that type of stuff. I just want to get that off my chest and say congrats on all that type of stuff.
Thanks a lot. I feel really honored to work with the organization and the great group of board of directors that we have. I think we do try to keep values at the center of all our decision making. And sometimes it's tough with the decisions and the regulators and all the things in the mix, but we try to stay focused on that for our members. So.
Right, and let's get to the topic at hand here. You told me you spoke the first day, so you've been here the entire time. Good for you. Okay, you talked about inclusive leadership, why diversity and inclusion matter. And I'm going to ask I'm going to play kind of like a devil's advocate here. Why do they matter, especially for credit unions?
Sure. So from our perspective at Van City, we see it as very central to our mandate that our job is to represent our members, and we can't do that unless we have the diversity of our membership within our organization and that we also understand the diversity of our membership and how to serve them. So our diversity and inclusion work kind of has two aspects of it. One is understanding where we're at and our hiring, do we reflect our members? And the second is, how do we include diversity within our organization? So diversity and inclusion, both aspects of it. A quote that we like to use from an activist in the States, it says, diversity is inviting somebody to the party and inclusion is asking them to dance. So there's kind of two levels of it, and inclusion is really the goal, creating an organization culture that has diversity at the core and includes people from all different perspectives.
And profound and neat. I like that. I'm going to have to remember that. So what are a couple of other takeaways that your audience can take back to their credit unions and either learn from it and then take back and even implement into the practice?
Sure. So I really do believe that diversity and inclusion work is hard work. When you undertake it, you're challenging all the societal issues, like discrimination, bias, people that have experienced painful things because of that. So it's not something that can be taken on lightly. And I'm a strong believer that the leadership has to take it seriously. And I think that starts with leaders taking on the challenge of identifying their own biases and their own things that come into play when they're making their decision making and their own blind spots. Because once you do that, it opens up the world it opens your mind and your perspectives up to everybody else's and what you might have been missing. And once you start with that journey, I think that helps you integrate it in your policies and your perspectives and anything in the organization, so you can create an environment that really supports that.
Yeah, I'm thinking as you're talking, it's like, gosh, if you don't kind of, I don't want to say believe in this philosophy or believe in inclusion and diversity, you're really limiting yourself. You're really kind of putting yourself in a pigeonhole and not ever even getting out. And that's just a recipe for failure, I would think.
Absolutely. For too long, a lot of voices have been left out of the conversation. And I know in some of the sessions, we talked about groupthink and how dangerous that is. And I think the way to kind of combat that and actually make better business decisions and better decisions from your membership is to include all of those voices. And I think it is hard work because it's I think a lot of times we live in our blind spots. We don't realize that, I put up a little comic in my PowerPoint. Unfortunately, the slides didn't work, but I know. But it has a whole boardroom and only one woman and the rest of the men. And the chairperson says, that was a great idea, Miss Whatever. Let's wait for one of the men to make that suggestion. And it's kind of playing on that. But I think a lot of people experience that, whether it's it's not talked about, it's not overt discrimination, it's the stuff that sits in that silence and interactions that really gets is a barrier to people. Yeah. So
why is this so important today as opposed to a decade ago or 5 years ago?
I think it's always been important, but okay. I believe that we just didn't have the level of knowledge and understanding of its impacts. And I think it's maybe over the last 10 years and personally on my journey, the maybe the last 5 or 6 years that we've had the vocabulary that goes along with the feelings that a lot of marginalized people have had about power structures and how they show up and the dynamics of it. So it's always been important. I think we're maybe just better at integrating or trying to integrate that in organizations. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What is Van City doing in this area?
Yeah, I got to talk a little bit about it. It's really broad, our approach. We have a lot of diversity and inclusion staff whose job titles include that, so that that part of their daily job is to make sure that we're doing a good job. We've done a cultural audit in 2010 where we get not only surveys of our employees, but confidential focus groups where we try to understand how employees are feeling. And get a sense of how we need to improve. And we're doing another one this year and hoping to put that back into it. A big focus for us as an organization is reconciliation. In Canada, it's something that...
Reconciliation, what do you mean by that?
We're trying to grapple with is that our history with the Indigenous people of the land. And we're trying to grapple with it politically and as a society of how we move forward with that. And
somebody else is telling me about that at this conference, and now you're kind of bringing it up.
You're from Canada as well?
Yeah, I think so. I've talked to so many people, I can't remember who said it, but I went, dang, wow, okay.
Yeah, so we have adopted that as one of our core values, reconciliation. So we're trying to grapple with an organization of what that means and how we show up with First Nations, Indigenous people that we have as our members or a part of our communities or whose land that we work on. And we're at the very beginning stage of that journey, but I got a chance to talk about it a little bit in our talk and how we're working through that.
Mm-hmm. And so how do you see that progressing? How do you see that benefiting Van City and then ultimately benefiting the members?
Yeah. So, financial inclusion is a really big goal for all credit unions. It's kind of where we started and how we, who we are. Yeah. And we see that there's a lot of ability or growth. There's a lot of growth that could happen through financial inclusion of everybody. And I know in Canada we have some First Nations communities that don't have access to financial resources the same way. We, for example, one of our projects we started a few years ago was to start up a local branch in a northern First Nations community, the Namgus First Nation, because they didn't have access to these resources and partner with them. And support that, and it's going well so far. And we just feel like not only is it good to do that as part of our mandate, it's also a potential of partnership with those First Nations that want to have their own dreams realized through the financial support. So, yeah.
You guys are doing such a good job in anything you guys do.
I'm
a big fan. So you're preaching to the choir here. So anything else to wrap up here? I mean, it's just any final words of wisdom, Nikki?
Just that I learned so much, and I'm so grateful for this community here of people that are really passionate about this movement. It's very inspiring. So,
all right, great.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome, Nikki. Thank you.
Well done.